Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Father, tonight is a key night and places in the hands of the people a method, a strategy, a revelation, a key for tomorrow. Help us then to apply what we've heard both this morning and tonight. It's just that important. It is a life-changing day today. May you help us then, for the future of a nation is on the lips of a praying church. Teach us all together how intercessory work in the Spirit and what it entails, how it works. In Jesus Christ's name, let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ come upon all of us. The eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let us have insight. Let us have foresight. Let us have understanding. Let us have discernment. For Lord, it is needed so very much. Open our minds as you did with the disciples at the time when you blew upon them in John chapter number 20. Let us understand these things, and so we know how to chart the way forward. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. I'm going to get down to immediate business here because I have got the complexity of possibly saying unnecessary things. So I have to be very careful with my time. Also, you better just pray for me because I've got a complex of a lot of things here that I've got to put together to make it work. So it's all going to come from here and I've got to give it to you. And then, of course, I've got the Greek and the Hebrew in front of me. But to open up with here, I will open up with Isaiah chapter 59. And we see here that the nation was in trouble. We see from verse 13, transgression, lying against the Lord, departing from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, and conceiving and uttering from the hearts words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, righteousness stands afar off, truth has fallen in the street. And I'm saying this again in view of this morning and now. Isaiah 59 is a carbon picture now of South Africa before the elections. So you need to read this chapter. I would very much also say, go if you have the New Amplified Bible, go there too. Or at least say one other. If you have got that, maybe you've got a Living Translation. But basically, the New King James is the best one. And then the other one that I always read from is the Amplified. Now, then he says in 15, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. What's happening in the country, don't you think God is very blessed by some of the things that's been happening in this country? And all the crime, all the corruption, women being raped, children abused. I see that there's even cases of human trafficking. And I mean, you just go on everywhere. There is this stuff going on. And it's like seeing like a tree. And let's say it's like a willow tree with its branches that normally hang like that. On that tree sits like ticks. And they're all busy sucking the life of the tree that's supposed to cover and feed the people. So no branches with leaves, everything. Just all this all the time happening, taking the power out of the nation. We've had that. It's all in the news. I don't have to tell you the news, but that's just an image. He saw there was no man, verse 16, and he wanted that there was no intercessor. This week, if ever, the Lord opened up this word intercession big time to me. And we found out this morning that word paga is not only battling because the battle belongs to the Lord. And I spoke about that. Don't want to waste time with that. Listen to this morning message, how I explain what intercession is, the rise of intercession from Abraham. These men had huge relationship with God, Abraham, And then you see from there Moses and how Moses interceded for the nation. It's just beautiful. Then you go on, and I didn't even get to Samuel, and there is a whole thing. Samuel, the intercessor, a judge, a priest, and also a prophet doing intercession. Now we find Moses was very prophetic because he brought the word of God. Samuel, very prophetic because that's the way he prayed according to that revelation. And I wonder if you take this sound of mine, the wind, just take it down to tick one. And then you see Moses was very prophetic. Let me repeat that. And we see also that Samuel was very prophetic and he prayed according to prophetic revelation. And then we also see the same thing with Samuel. It goes on to Daniel. They do prophetic prayer. The angels in some cases are revealing things like the case of Daniel, and then he prays in accordance with that. Okay, now, not going there, but I want to say to you, catch what I've said for the third time now. It's a very carbon copy of what happens in South Africa, Isaiah 59. Now, there's an intercessor, and we see now, therefore, the Bible says, he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, God's own arm brought salvation, which is the root Yasha, which is like Yeshua from the same root for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. Now, we see God putting on the armor of God. And in 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. He was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, according to their deeds, he will accordingly repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and so on and so forth. So shall they fear the name of the Lord, 19, from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now the anointing breaks the yoke. Now the Redeemer will come to Zion, and the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem to us also, and those who turn from transgression. Now, it does not end with Isaiah 59. In 21, I'm just shooting through here because of time constraints. Got to be very careful. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. Right, now God puts his covenant in the earth and writes his word within our hearts, in our minds, fills us with the Holy Spirit, mind of Christ. Then, when he, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, begins to pray. Now, very important for the future of the nation, Isaiah 60. And I'll just read maybe just one verse in Isaiah 60. My pages are blowing around here. Just cut that thing down to minimum here, platform wind. It's on minimum now. Okay, or even put it off on the platform. It's fine for me. Okay, thank you. Then it says here, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. When God takes command, if our intercessory prayers work, and if we stand in the gap for the land, when God takes command, then arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light is come. It's there, it has come, and it is coming towards you. So, the future of a nation on the lips of a praying church. Here we have the land in a mess. Ultimately, God looking for the intercessors, which hopefully the Lord will receive the intercession taking place from this church. Now, in this period ahead of us, it'll definitely also impact a high flow. I can see a high flow, like the fire conference of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, during the fire conference and during Pentecost coming up now. So, 60 is the response of what happens if God gets into the intercessory thing. We also heard this morning that Jesus lived forever to make intercession for the saints. It says it in Romans, says in the book of Hebrews, tells you he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Now, once we pray to Jesus, through him, the Savior, to the Father, in the name of Jesus, and we have our relationship. We see these men, the giants of intercession that stood in the gap for an ancient nation, they were all in a very strong, I mean an impeccable, think of Moses, think of Abraham, their relationship with God, think of Samuel, think of Daniel, called the beloved by the angels, even when they addressed him. These men had a powerful relationship with God. And everything now depends. Somebody was saying to me, intercessors, in fact, it's also in my research, intercessors, those people that stand in the gap and then raise up entreaties or petitions to God, those people live very pure lives because they're always praying. They're always praying. And you can't pray and waste your time when you're praying for a nation. You've got to pray from the platform of absolute righteousness. Are you with me now? So, 60, take it and read 60, and we go from there. Now, for that being so, we've dealt with Isaiah, and we've also see that Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man who build up a gap, raise up a hedge. It's actually a wall in Hebrew, like a wall, could be of branches by which they enclose and protect the sheep and build up a hedge and stand in the gap for the land. So that is what we're doing. We're moving towards the intercession. We also find out when you do intercession, it's not you that's battling the devil. The battle belongs to the Lord. Everybody say, the battle belongs to the Lord. Now the devil is already disarmed. Colossians 2:14-15, read that section there. He's been disarmed, and the Lord broke his power there, brought him to naught, Hebrews chapter number 2 and 14 and so on, where you see that the devil is disempowered. And now, only if we give him the right to invade our lives, because certainly like Beelzebub, that means the Lord of the flies. Demons are like flies. Uninvited, they come in. But if you are having a strong relationship with God, like Reinhard Bonnke, the late Reinhard Bonnke said, flies never sit on a hot stove. Very important. Now, we go to the prophetic, and I want to go further. In the context of what's been happening lately, people are talking, so you know, that did you see? Now, one thing they don't know, and that maybe one day somebody will realize that, or some, you know, because if they don't get to me, they bombard with things to get to me. And so you get all these videos of this whole thing and the thing out in America with that, when you have the total solar eclipse and whatever. And did you see the previous one went over cities called Salem, which means peace. And now this one goes over cities wrong, goes over cities called Nineveh. In fact, there are also a Nineveh out in America, Nova Scotia. And then if you look at that, you have the solar eclipse, and it's important to understand this because from that I'm going to build towards South Africa. So stay with me now. I don't want to waste time on this because people are in the picture with this whole thing of this American situation of a solar eclipse. So it goes, let me start this way. There is, you have the sun, the moon. The moon's got to be in perigee. In other words, closest possible to the sun. You get apogee, perigee. Perigee, the moon can appear to be like 14% bigger. So it's a huge moon. Then at the same time, while it's in perigee, it's close and the moon comes in between precisely. That creates a shadow, the preumbra, and it creates an umbra. And ultimately, the point of totality is that narrow strip where this thing runs through and it gets dark there, and now you have all these effects. There are many effects of it. But I don't want to get into the physics. I want to get into the point that there are only two cities of, by the name of Nineveh, is that the point of totality goes over. In other words, they have the total darkness. There are other places with the same name, but the two that they go over is actually at a certain point where the point of totality, total blackout of the sun takes place. Now, with that being said, it is very interesting that it calls out the city of Nineveh. But what perhaps none of you know, I don't know if you ever know that, but a constellation is like a group of stars, from the ancient times. There are 88 constellations. We're not talking about signs of the zodiac. 88 constellations. And these, from the days of Job, Job mentions a string of them. These constellations out there, they connect with the lying stars, they give an image, and then that image is then seen from Earth on the telescopes and so on and so forth. And then the Bible talks to 88 of these constellations. Now, right over this thing that went over America, this total solar eclipse, right on top of that, look up at the heavens and you'll see the constellation of the whale. And there we have the story of Jonah coming again. So now why is Jonah so important? So let's get away from America, because the world is not just America, it's more than America. So we go across to Nineveh, and here is a thing that happens. But preceding the thing that happens is another thing that happens. I might give you some verses in the process that in 2 Kings 19 and 35, we have the Assyrian Empire, and there we see that Sennacherib, the king, that means in that time of the language of the Assyrians, it means that the god Sin has restored my brothers to me. That's Sennacherib. And Sennacherib. So now we see that he wants to take Jerusalem. He surrounds Jerusalem with soldiers. There's 185,000 of them out there. And the prophet Isaiah prophesies there's nobody here in this place. You're not even going to do a thing. In fact, you're not going to shoot your first arrow. I mean, you're not going to do no harm to these people because they call upon the name of the Lord. Isaiah says, this is it. Don't fear. God's in control of this. I'm just cutting the story also very short because I want to get to South Africa all the time. Now, we wake up in the morning. How many people are dead? The angel of the Lord came down. 185 soldiers dead around Jerusalem. The Assyrian, whatever remains of them, flee, go back to the capital of Nineveh. Some few years, if you study the timelines now, and this is critical stuff when you study the timelines, and it's really a complicated setup if you get into that, but you find two things. Number one, a prophet by the name of Jonah arrives. And what does Jonah say to them? Let me try and get to that. And I will very much like to do so. Give me a moment here. And so God spoke to Jonah, arise. Jonah 3 verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3-day journey in extent. Can you believe it? And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out, the shortest sermon that I know of in the Bible. And he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Reaction. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And so, of course, God stops the calamity that happens there. It's very interesting because the Assyrians, 185 of them, 1,000 of them just died out there in Jerusalem, let's say about 85 years earlier than that. They get taken out. Here comes Jonah. He's well known in when he says, God says, the God of Israel. Here's a Hebrew prophet walking into Nineveh. And they just know all of them, many of them lost family members there at the Battle of Jerusalem. They just know that. They said, we repent. The fear of God Almighty comes upon them, sackcloth and fasting and prayer. But there's a very interesting thing, because if I look at the Jews, what the Jews have to say about just that incident in the Jewish world, if you go to NASA and you look at their projections of the stars, how these stars move, then you find out that there was a solar eclipse on a certain day. It was the 40th day after the prophecy went out from Jonah. So according to what I see from my Jewish resources is that 40th day is what? Yom Kippur. And on the day of Yom Kippur, the Jews, I'm talking about what the Jews do, they call it the day in which, it's a day of fear. It's a day of the fear of the Lord, because is God going to receive the sacrifice of the nation or not? And here, when that 40 days are over, on that very day, 40 days later, it was Yom Kippur in Jerusalem, the day of judgment, where God judges sin. So here we see God judges sin, and because when Jonah came there, they very well know what a Jewish prophet is. They very well know what God can do if he gets going. So if you're wondering about Jonah, that's the end of the story of Jonah. And now let's go a little bit further on. And I'd like to get to the section of tonight. Now, from a prophetic point of view, there are two things that I have to say. Maybe I should go here, because I said I'm going to be jumping around on this so that I get the best out of what is going on. You need to understand that something at the same time is happening here. How many of you believe that? Which is of prophetic significance for the now, South Africa. Now, if you understand the times, it helps. But if you pray, it definitely helps. And so, you need to understand that these things don't just happen. If you look at Genesis 1 and 14, the Bible tells you that God created the great lights, which is the sun. He mentions the sun. And then he also mentions the moon. Now, in the terms of God's calendar, hear me now, not the Gregorian calendar, God opts for the moon as a calendar. So, of course, the devil very quickly gets in on that. They start worshiping the moon also. And they start, because now, forgive me for saying this, but it's important to say, that because this comes from the femininity, that the cycle of a woman, 28 days. And the lunar cycle. See? So you have the same thing there. And therefore, they start worshiping the goddess, the moon. God opts for the moon from the days of Enoch through to Israel as the standard for the calendar. Now, if we do that, we have to look at the Jewish calendar and everything that it does. If you look at the Jewish calendar and you see the dates, for example, if you look at the blackout in America with the lunar blackout or the solar blackout, you see, for example, it was on the 24th. Now, this is our calendar, the Gregorian calendar. 24th of April. Have I got that right? The 4th of April. I'm sorry. Morning, you sharp. Yeah. There's no need to rest. The 4th of April. The 8th of April. Yeah. Okay. If you use the Jewish calendar, now mine is, this little thing here is a packet. You can see the packet is, it's been used over and over. But if I go by the 5784 of the Jewish, you have 8 and you have 4. So I go through the Jewish calendar. Where's my thing here? It worked from the back to the front, so I can quickly see here that it is the number 8, 2784. 4 is the word Dalet, is the door. 8 is the number, and it says here, very nice, it explains to you these things I had to memorize long time. But I still walk around with them, and my packet's falling apart. I love these cards because it tells you the whole story of what does each letter of the Jewish alphabet tell you. Okay, so it says here, it is, if you say the word, the letter is called Tzayin. So if you take Tzayin and you put it into numerics and its meaning, Tzayin is Tzayin, Yot, and Nun, that spells the word of the letter of number 8. And then you see there that it says, who was cut off? Number one, there's an axe. Tzayin, the harvesting tool. And accomplishing a mighty deed. You see the arm of the Lord. And brought life unto man. the letter Nun in the Hebrew alphabet. So we see that God did a cutting off and brought light and life, according to the Hebrew take here, on the divine calendar. We can go into that on a much greater scale, but the time's not going to allow me for that because I still want to get to South Africa. So we also see that in the year 2024, 2 and 4, all these things, you analyze that, you come to the same conclusion. 4, Aleph, Beit, Chimel, Dal, Gimel, Dalet. Dalet is the door. This is the year of the open door. So God is doing a work on the end time harvest. For now in Israel begins the end time harvest from Pentecost all the way through to Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets. This happens, it's called the dry months, but actually it's the summer harvest time. So this is the harvest of the church. The church fits in the mystery of the church in the middle. I hope I'm making this clear. I'm trying to explain things here. Now, let me get to a little bit. I want to show you exactly how unbelievably accurate God gets with all of these things. I'm going to get away from those numerics because we can spend time and waste it. I'm going to just bring back what I preached about here at the day of the Passover, Good Friday. Using the Milky Way of our model, I've got it here on my notes here, I've typed out here. We can multiply the number of stars in a typical galaxy, our galaxy being the Milky Way, by 100 billion, which can vary to 400 billion. The Milky Way is, they give a number of 100 million, but they said it could be not million, billion stars in our galaxy. 100 billion stars in the galaxy of the universe. And you say then, that you multiply the number of stars in a typical galaxy, you work by 100 billion because if you go bigger, it gets ridiculous. By the number of galaxies in the universe, there are 2 trillion and counting. So you multiply 100 billion times 2 trillion, and then the answer is absolutely an astounding number. There are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. The observable universe. It's the size of the universe. But this is all nicely tuned now. So, why is it so nicely tuned? Let me give you an illustration. Some time back, I used a similar one like this one. Why is it and why is timing with God? You must know in this whole universe, He sets up Jerusalem and the cross for the center of space and time. I tell you because we're in the middle of the observable universe. It's like 93.4 to the other one side and the same distance to the other side of the observable universe, which makes for about 93 billion light years across. So here we sit right in the middle, and right in the middle of the center of space and time. It's beautiful in mathematics to look at these things. You have the whole of the entirety of the creation expanding. On the outer edges, the creation expands, listen to me now, faster than the speed of light. How's that possible? If you take 2 galaxies and another galaxy sitting out at the outer rim of the observable universe, and you do this, those galaxies are moving out. This distance on the triangle, that distance is a greater distance than what the speed of light on these legs can give. So there's this expansion takes place on the outer edge. But the entire universe is busy moving. And we are moving. Look at the timing of God here. The speed of the rotation of the earth. You've traveled a lot since I last saw you. In fact, we've all traveled quite a lot since we started the service. I mean, we're moving. We are passengers. The speed of the rotation of the Earth's axle is 1,600 kilometers an hour. The speed of the Earth itself around the Sun is, now, remember now, the Earth is turning 1,600 kilometers an hour, but the Earth is also on its trajectory around the Sun of 107,000 kilometers an hour. So it's like this, okay? So you have a double movement in there and all kinds of gravitational centrifugal forces. The speed of the sun in the Milky Way, the sun, our star is traveling too. What a thing. 792,000 kilometers an hour is the sun movement. And we're traveling around the sun like that, doing that spinning. The Milky Way speed of our Milky Way is 212 million years at the radius of the sun. And the Milky Way as a whole is moving at a velocity of approximately 600 kilometers per second. The whole Milky Way is moving. Now to get all of this, and I'm telling you this to tell you timing. And I'm telling you South Africa. Okay? Now, if we look at this, and I pass the constellations, I want to get to South Africa. Now, these constellations are, there are several of them mentioned in the Bible. Like, for example, we've got Pleiades. This is in Job 9:9, or the seven stars. You have Orion, you have Arcturus, or the Great Bear. You have Maseroth, you have the dragon, or Draco. And so it goes on. But there are, like I said, 88 of these constellations. Now, in Genesis 1:14, God says that these things that he's given us are for signs. And if you look at the word signs, then you see it means to communicate supernatural messages to the earth. We're not talking astronomy. We're talking biblical astrology. We're talking biblical astronomy. That's actually a subject. Biblical astronomy. And if you, according to biblical astronomy, see how that all this is now going like that. Now, God in all the universe selects this earth that's doing that, plus the sun that's doing that, and the galaxy that's doing that. And all of that has to go to, for example, get you to the solar eclipse over America. Okay. Now, what about South Africa? We spoke about the moon calendar. Now, South Africa, as a nation, sits in a very interesting position because one thing is unique, in fact, to the totality of Africa and very much in the southern hemisphere. There was a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene. He's the only person that was ever allowed to carry the cross of Jesus. Now, when Jesus, obviously wounded, his blood's on that cross, gets to a point that he can't do it anymore, then Simon of Cyrene gets the job from the Roman soldiers, pick up the cross, and the blood of Jesus is directly in contact with his skin. Now, he comes from Cyrene. Now, where is Cyrene? If you take Greece, the Grecian islands, you go right south there, you get to Cyrene across the Mediterranean Sea. If you take that and you draw a line south to South Africa and from Côte d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast of Ivory, the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire is French. If you take a line, you take it over to the Horn of Africa, there's the one beam of the cross. If you take there from Cyrene down, we are here in South Africa. The cross is the symbol of the totality of Africa. But it gets better. Because God puts these signs in the heavens, not for a bunch of astrologers that, you know, have you ever seen a typical astrologer? Normally they got very thick thumbs, you know. Their thumbs are very big because they suck them. And eventually you can't get them in the mouth anymore. They suck them heavily. And then they've got long noses like Pinocchio also. You know. But we're not talking that stuff. We're saying there's constellations. These are obvious ones. So we need to know what then about South Africa. You talk about America. By the way, the sun, when darkened, is a message to the Gentile world. There it does affect the entire Gentile world. Not just America. The moon, when it turns into blood, is a message to the Jews, to Israel. So we had blood moon. In fact, I was in Israel when they had that big blood moon that came through. We were on Mount Scopus overlooking Jerusalem. And I was taking pictures of the blood moon from over as it was hanging over Jerusalem. So the blood moon is a sign to Israel when, on the other hand, the solar eclipse is a sign to all the world. But now, that sign always tells you, if you look at this, remember now what I'm telling you, what's busy happening in the universe, how God's got to time that thing. Over us, now, there is another sign. It is the most beautiful thing that you can imagine. In fact, every night, I would go outside with my dogs at the previous house, because now my dogs are with other Christians. I couldn't take the dogs with me. They're too big. And there was one of the heartsore things in my life, but okay. I would go out with the dogs, go walk under the starry night. And when I look up from my point, there's a point where God spoke to me there. There's an olive tree planted as a result. I look up there, and what do I see straight in front of me? The Southern Cross, the constellation of the Southern Cross. Now, you have four stars there. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and Delta, those four stars. Closest one is Beta Crux, which is 280,000 light years from here. 280,000, I think it is, or 280 light years, just like that. But it's a huge difference in astronomical units. So hanging over South Africa is the cross. And I would typically, at night, out there, winter and summer, put on some protective clothing, look up at the Southern Cross, stand next to an olive tree, and pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And I put my eyes on that cross as the symbol of redemption. Over Africa, the symbol of the cross. Over South Africa, in the Southern Hemisphere, specifically the Southern Cross. So all the Southern Hemisphere, but in South Africa, it's beautiful because it sits right central on top of me. If I stand there in the winter time, that's the now time, you see the Southern Cross comes out so beautifully right on top over South Africa. You know, there's a song called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It says, and the shadow of a cross arose on a lonely hill. The cross is the symbol of mercy, power, forgiveness, grace of God over Africa. Why then so? Because Simon of Cyrene, with the blood of Jesus, even on his clothing, returning back again to Cyrene, he didn't know what it all meant. But it would bless generations. I believe the curse of poverty in Africa has been broken there if they only knew about it. It's really something very significant. Moreover, Jesus walked his first years of life. He spent out in the time there in Egypt. He lived in Egypt until he returned to Nazareth and he became the Nazarene. So he was there. Moreover, there's also the entire Israel was in Africa. And God led them out with a mighty hand. And he delivered them. So then we see also the queen of Sheba. I want to say Sheba, which means seven in Hebrew. But the queen of Sheba, queen of Sheba. I'm right if I got that thing now. She was also from Ethiopian Africa. You have the Ethiopian Bible. In the Ethiopian Bible, you have included the book of Enoch in the Ethiopian Bible. So Africa, in a way, and by the way, the first mention of a nation in Africa, apart from the Egyptians, after that was actually the Ethiopians. So there we see now how Africa has been marked. The shadow of the cross hangs over South Africa. So now I can say, according to 1 Corinthians 1:14, the message of the cross is folly foolishness to those on their way to damnation or perdition, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So unto us, we know that the symbol of power will look to the cross. Well, you know, Pastor, you know what? You know what? I've just seen there's a prophet so-and-so said. And then I said, okay, that's interesting. And I, you know, and then prophet so-and-so. And then that prophet. They're not prophets. The prophetic office is a serious event. Very serious event. And then they walk around. It does not say the just shall live by prophecies. Personal prophecies. It says by faith. How does the just live by faith? By the word of God. You got to fill yourself with the word of God. So to go running around and say, well, you know, I had brother so-and-so, brother ignorance did a thing, and brother, you know, simplicity told me this, and that's a prophetic word and another prophetic word. And people run after these prophecies. Don't. As I was taught when I was in both theological college and in Bible school, I was taught that you take a prophecy, it already confirms what you've got in your heart. You put it on the rack and God will fulfill it. If it's of God, get fulfilled. I had a lady come into the speaker's lounge one day on a Sunday morning after the second service. This lady walked straight into the speaker's lounge from I don't know where, but she walked in, came in the door like this. She walked straight, lifted her hands towards my head, and she says, I have a word, I have a prophetic word for you, and I must lay hands on you. I said, you've got a prophetic nothing, and you're not going to lay hands? Out the door, thank you very much. And she was out there like a song, just gone. That canary never sang. I am not led by prophetic personal prophecies. I am led by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? All right. And I'm not interested, really, you see, that now with a thing like that solar eclipse, you can't believe the amount of people that now jump on the bandwagon, they ride it, and they've got now prophetic revelation, and Sister Confusia, she's also got a prophecy, and she stands there with a big smile. I see these things. I think, you know, you look at this. You know, it's like, to me, it's a spectacular display of stupidity, what goes on there. Really. Because they're all singing the same song. But here we sit in the southern continent of Africa. And over the southern continent of Africa, the beauty is, look up in the winter sky, you see the Southern Cross. And I don't think of that thing to worship that thing. It just gives me the cross. And very beautiful. I like this because it's always at a tilt, like 23%. It tilts over. I look at the cross and I see that tilt, and it's like it's being carried. You know, you see this just like somebody's busy carrying it over Africa. And I think of 2,000 years ago, that thing, and a man came into Africa, set his foot on this continent. It was Simon of Cyrene, and of course Jesus himself was here in his early years. So now, bearing in mind all of that, I believe with all of my heart that if we do not get back to intercession, if we intercede for the nation, I sought for a man, Ezekiel 22 verse 30, who would build up a hedge and stand in the gap for the land. And then again, God found no one there. But if we concentrate on our relationship, I'll talk about the future in a moment. If we concentrate on our relationship with God, that puts huge power into our intercessory prayer. God does not only move on individuals, he moves vertically, but also horizontally. He moves into the world that surrounds us. If we pray, if we obey, if we do intercession for South Africa, I sought for a man. Also, he wanted that there was no intercessor. We now know, based upon the current research, that is very clear to me now, very over clear to me now, intercession is far more than just pagai. In other words, to strike. Now I'm fighting the fight. And we're fighting the fight. Did you ever think about it? Even in the full armor of God, the only thing that is weaponry is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And also this morning I said, What things have you bind on earth? The Greek tells you, shall have already been bound in heaven. What things have you loose or permit on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven or allowed in heaven. What's that? The promises of God. You pray the promises of God. And when you pray, pray the promises of God. Don't pray for Aunt Sally, who's not got enough chickens in the backyard, and expect the nation to be served, saved. What we need here is a crystal clear prayer going out to God based on your personal relationship. One person getting God's attention can change the future of this nation. Believe you me. Say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a proper praise offering. Now, I could have gone deeper into that Hebrew there, particularly when it talks about signs. That means literally he gave the signs in the star as appointments. You look at the moon, God uses that calendar. And according to that calendar, we now determine the Hebrew calendar is another story. The calendar of Enoch the prophet, that occurred based on the same principles. It flows through all the way from the Dead Sea Scrolls all the way through. You look at that, it's the year 5784 at the moment in terms of the Hebrew calendar. But now, we look at our country, and I said Isaiah 59, intercession. Everybody say intercession. That means to raise up petitions, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks towards God. So we do exactly this, just that. But when we come to the prayer, like the Saturday morning prayer meeting, we've got to come here and we've got to work on our relationship with God before we come here. Why? Because your future is at stake. The future of a nation is at stake. Now, I'm not, somebody comes to me and says, you see, what so-and-so political party that has to say, and you know, this is blasphemous and all of that. I am not interested. I am not led by some politician. I'm led by God. And I pray according to what God is saying in the Word. Because I may not ever be influenced by politics. I have got to be influenced by the Word of God. I've got to love everybody. And by the way, may I say this to you again. Racism does not even exist in the kingdom of God. It's not there. So all this stuff that goes on in the flesh has got to come to an end. And once that has come to an end, the nation changes. But there's a very interesting thing, and I need to give you a little bit of a story of that. Let me see if I can get it over here, and maybe I can get it. After another mind, I think that this is very important that I read this if I can find it. Right. I do not find what I'm looking for. That's not really very good. Okay. Now, in the book of Judges, chapter 9, there is something that I want you to bear in mind. If you think of the political arena, because many of those people are far away from God, they know not God, they have absolute ignorance. Ignorance means lacking knowledge. They don't know God, they don't have the fear, they departed from God, they're surrounded by darkness, and this happens with politicians around the world, everywhere. Sometimes some of them make a stand for Jesus. They're not very popular because the Antichrist doesn't like that. And any false cult, antichrist religious group or whatever, they always target those people that really have no compromise. But now, in terms of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 12, verse 33, think of political parties. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, if I go across to Judges 9, there's an interesting situation that God uses here. I was looking for it today, in fact, to get the exact spot. So now, here is a story beginning with verse 8. The trees of the field, once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go sway over other trees? Verse 10, Judges 9. Then the tree said to the fig tree, you come and you reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, I have fruit. Should I cease from my sweetness and my good fruit and go and sway over the trees? 12. Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go sway over the trees? So they got a problem here in verse 14. Then at last all the trees said to the bramble. Now the bramble is a thorn bush, the brambos. Okay? It's a thorn bush, not very high, but it's a bush, not even a proper tree. Okay? They said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. Then the bramble says, full of thorns, a tree is known by its fruit. This one only bearing thorns. If in truth you anoint me now as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So the bramble is the thorn tree, and a tree is known by its fruit. I cease, you know, in my, I'm just not a politician, and I'm not interested in politics. I don't like being involved in finances. Those two things I stay away from. But I'm just, you know, from a logical point of view, I often think of any political party, if now with the coming and the praying for the elections, do people even look at the fruit of the tree? Okay? And say to the fruit of the tree, come and reign over us. And the tree says, Lizzie, you don't want to listen to me now. Fire is going to get you. If you're not going to get stung with all the thorns, you're going to be burned with fire. You do what I tell you, and there's a situation. So that is a symbol of a bad leadership, thorns. In our country, if we pray and we do intercession that God would appoint what God wants and we place God in control, we will have a situation that's quite different from what we expect. There's only one thing. The future of our country is a future of alliances. Did you hear what I've said to you now? There are alliances. These alliances can be good, but they can definitely also be bad. Let me give you an example. As we know not officially I say, because we've still got some prayer work. That's what the Lord says to me. Now pray. Knowing what you know, now pray for the future, because all of you are touched by this. And hence the course on Wednesday nights also. If you look at this situation of, let's talk about the party after elections, whichever party. After elections, now this is going to be the ruling party, right? So we have a clear-cut situation. No, this is the ruling party. They're in control. Second important thing is, who then is the official opposition? If the official opposition is a wrong tree, are you listening to me now? And forms an alliance perhaps with another wrong tree. Guess what happens at that moment in time? We are going into a situation of calamity. Therefore, we are going to pray for this country because we want God to raise up the correct opposition. We want God to take the correct alliance and bring that to the fore and get the people into a place. Prime prayer. Work for us to do. Lord, will you determine who is the official opposition as well as winning the election? I don't know. I'm not getting into that field. Will you control that? Number one, we don't want anything producing thorns. We want fruit here. Number two. Thirdly, we have to get Now, the big thing, now the fashion has become alliances. There are 50 political parties on the political list. So you're alphabetical to find a party, whichever party. But if you choose the wrong one, it could be a thorn bush that creates fire and sting and a lot of damage. So therefore, we must pray that God put together the right people in the right place so that the future of the nation, which is on the lips of the praying church in righteousness, asking God, doing intercession now, pleading with God that the right thing will happen and that God would bless every man, woman, and child in the nation. One. Two. I said it before and I'm saying it again concerning the future. We are now for sure entering into the rapids. Now, if you go to the Zambezi, if you go to many, if I think of the Colorado River out there in the Grand Canyon in America, I flew with a plane over that, and we were out there looking down that river. Deep down in the Grand Canyon, you see the rapids where people can hardly go through with canoes and things like that. Those rapids are taking them down that river like a shot. And if you hit the wrong rock, you can be overturned, and like in the Zambezi, the same thing. We are in the rapids now. There's going to be bumps on the road. But keep the faith. Don't listen to prophet imagination. Just stay in the faith. Know this, that your prayers will make a difference now. Your prayer is going to make every difference now. Because this is what the Lord, after a week of prayer on this subject, the Lord has taken me and rewritten intercession in my mind. My mind, I was thinking one thing, and the battle belongs to the Lord. So when I pray, Revelation chapter 8, when the prayers of the saints were offered on the altar before God as incense arising in the presence of the Lord, sweet incense, immediate reaction from the throne of God. If the prayers of the saints in this place arise correctly, all the way, we start on the 20th with a 40-day prayer program. Every day, church open, morning, you can come and pray here with the pastors. You'll get the program for that. We pray every day. It's going to be vital, like Moses, like Daniel, like the saints of God, the holy men of God that walk before us. It is possible. Elijah was the intercessor. So can you think the relationship that is needed to make a difference? So it's not just going through a ritual, you know, just going through another ritual. And just going. It's really getting to a point, getting the help of the Holy Spirit, entering into the presence of God, praying from a platform of absolute impeccable righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we focus on our now, everybody. Work with your relationship with God. When we pray, therefore, it is now so. If God hears, you know, I said this morning, Jacques, if God hears your prayers or decides to hear Frankie's prayers or Dr. Dennis's prayers, just one person can swing this whole country. When we come out of the rapids, because there will be, because I know, for example, you read the news. You know, I'm not really big in news, but I do go scan it once a day, so finach, just on an app. I don't need the television. Just like that, quickly, speed read through it. You see it and you know what's going on. And you read the news, already there are things like, who's going to look after us if we lose our seat in parliament? It's in the news. It's what's being said in the news. So that is a calamity situation. People are going to lose an election as keynote as this one coming. Is an election that will cause people to be bumped out of seats and other people take their place. That we prayed that God would put there. Amen. Are you listening to me? Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. You're very quiet. We pray God put them there. So it's very important to us to do that prayer. And so when this happens, there's going to be a huge shifting of population within the actual Parliament House. Then comes the alliances. That is cardinal. That is key. We want the official opposition not to be full of thorns and stuff, but really the hard stuff that God says, that's the person. And when God appoints, sometimes people are surprised who he appoints. But the fact of the matter is, we have to turn this thing over to God. When the nation comes out of the rapids, there's a complete new dispensation awaiting the people of God in this country. People will return to South Africa in droves. Already we hear story after story, and again being confirmed even in this week, that people are flying back to South Africa from overseas. Why? Why? Somebody said to me the other day, you come from overseas, this country is a walk in the park when it comes to cost of living. You go to overseas, do you know what it costs to ride around in France? Do you know how much it is? They charge you, but for everything. You give a smile to somebody, you get an account. I'm telling you now, I've seen it on that airport in France. You go in there, you see, everything. You go to the restrooms or the toilets, there's a fee. Everything's got a fee to it. In London, you walk, go to toilets, you got to give a coin, you got to put a pound in there, you know? Wow, you know, so you see these things, people come back and they say, too expensive, houses are expensive. They battle, I had a phone call from New Zealand, the houses in New Zealand is highly expensive. Australia, same story. So what are we saying? They will return to this land. Because the shadow of a cross hangs over South Africa. There is a future, there is hope. I close with this because it was a long presentation. I know that, but I had to get this over. So I set the scene that when I say Wednesday night, I start training the people in spiritual warfare the right way. Then also, we are now focused on God. From the 20th, we do that. Until the elections, we'll go through the night of the election, into the day of the election, until the ballot boxes close, then we finished. We give God a praise offering. Now it's in the hands of God. Amen. In the meantime, we don't move by hatred, but we move by love. And we get all forms of aggression out of our hearts because we're dealing with God Himself. We want Him to hear our prayers and give us a future. Can you say amen? Amen. So will you give the Lord a proper praise offering then? I hope tonight that you have something, particularly this morning too, that you get the whole broad picture of what this is all about. Our future is now with us. I've said to Pastor Clive this week, I said, I don't even look to other churches. I've got to look here and say, we've got to get this thing right. Lord, help me. And He did. So we got the perspective. A lot of things to explain here might sound, but when you get home, you'll get the picture in your mind. You'll know what's going on. And from here forward, may the Lord reign over us. May the eternal olive tree, which is the Lord our Savior, the Lamb of God, be the shepherd of this nation. There is the shadow of a cross that hangs over us in the night sky, telling us grace over this nation. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise offering now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not keep you here because I imparted a lot of knowledge of a lot of things and could have said a lot more about a lot of things, but it's very difficult to do this kind of presentation where you are accessing different disciplines of knowledge to get to something. And to understand, you're on the move, let's move with God. Do you know the timing of the cross, the planting of the cross? Do you know that timing? In the whole creation, Jesus on a cross, the whole of creation holding breath. Amen. Now there's life and there's light. Believe in Jesus, believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you, give you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people say, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.